Returning to Genesis 21. Genesis 21, and I'm going to begin by reading two verses, 9 and 10. Verses 9 and 10. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore, Sarah said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son. For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And that word even was added by the translators. And as I understand it, what it means is equal with Isaac. He'll not have a part in the inheritance with my son, Isaac. Now, the Apostle Paul, thankfully, speaks of this very passage, and it's in Galatians chapter 4. And when we do finally turn there, leave a marker there. We're going to be in some verses in Romans and in Galatians this morning. And Paul speaks of this in chapter 4, verses 22 through 31. And what he tells us is that this historical, factual thing that really happened here, this domestic dispute, if you will, it really happened. But he tells us this is an allegory. This is an allegory. There's a lot of things that happen to the patriarchs. There's a lot of things that happen to our brethren in the scriptures that are not recorded in the scriptures. But there are certain things that the Lord puts in the scripture because they are an allegory. When the Lord puts something in the scripture, it's not just to fill space. It's not just meaningless little details. He gives us these things because they're teaching us something. They're teaching us of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it speaks of the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ for his people. You can count on it. Everything that's in this word is speaking and testifying to, bearing witness of, and glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's teaching his people something of redemption by the Lord Jesus Christ for his people. These words are a blessing to us. Now, an allegory, in this sense, what this allegory is using is characters. The allegory takes characters such as Sarah and Hagar, such as Isaac and Ishmael, to teach us something, another meaning than what's just here presented. There's something else going on here, and it's teaching us of the gospel. It's teaching us of the gospel, some spiritual gospel truth, and that's specifically Christ and redemption. Now, in this case, this allegory is given to show believers our complete and total deliverance from the law of Moses. This is what this allegory is teaching us. We have freedom, deliverance from the law of Moses. That doesn't mean that we're without law. It means that we're without the law of Moses. We're not under the law of Moses. That's not our righteousness. Our law is a law of faith, the law of the Spirit, the law of life and liberty in Christ Jesus. But this allegory is showing us that we've been delivered from the law of Moses. We have here two women and two sons, and this speaks of two covenants. Two covenants. Sarah pictures the covenant of grace, and her son Isaac pictures the children of promise. The children of promise, you that believe God, you that believe the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a testimony that you are children of promise. It's not your testimony, it's God's testimony in revealing and manifesting faith, life, his Spirit in you. He's showing, that's my child. They're a child of promise. I love them, and I save them before the foundation of the world. And I'm bringing it forth, bringing that life forth in them. Hagar pictures the covenant of works, and her son Ishmael pictures the people who are going about to to establish their own righteousness. By their works, they think they come to God in what they do or don't do. And they're in bondage. They're in bondage. And so the Lord here is teaching you that believe. He's saying, don't come to me mixing law and grace. It can't be done. My people do not come to me. I don't receive them with a little bit of grace and a little bit of law. A little bit of what I do and a little bit of what you do. No, we don't mix law and grace. And that's what we do by nature. We try by nature, this corrupt, vile, sinful, wicked nature, we would come to God, mixing a little bit of this and a little bit of that, because we think that, well, that sounds good. That seems to make some sense. I think I'll do that. And the Lord says, no, don't come to me in law. I've provided everything for you in my Son, Jesus Christ. I've saved you in grace. And he draws us in grace and in love and in mercy. And so sinners, what we're seeing here is that sinners are either saved entirely by grace or entirely by the law. And they are mutually, what's called mutually exclusive, meaning that if one is true, the other cannot be true. It is not true. And if this one's true, then the other one's not true. It's one or the other. They're exclusive of each other. You can't come in both. And so the Lord is showing us what he's saying in this word is that he saves by grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how he saves sinners. That's how he saves his people. Salvation is not in something I do or that you do for yourself. Salvation is by the doing and dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we're saved, by Christ and Christ alone. When he came for his people, he went to that cross. And he died as the Lamb of God, as their surety, as their substitute, bearing their sins. And he died and was buried, and he rose again for our justification. God declaring, he's salvation. Look to him. He's the one I've provided. He's salvation. He's our righteousness. Now, this might be a little heavy, but go to Romans. Romans chapter 6 is where we're going to begin. I want to show you a few verses here. This is a nice flow of verses that you can go back to. And this shows us and speaks to our deliverance from the law. So let me just take a few minutes here. And we're going to be in Romans. I'm going to show you four passages from Romans that show that believers are free from the law. So beginning at verse 14 and 15. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. He's speaking to believers. You're not under the law of Moses. You're not under the law of sin and death. You're under faith. You're under the law of grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. No, we're not lawless. We're under the law of grace and faith. Now, go over to Romans 7. Romans 7, verses 1 through 4. We're not under the law, but under grace. Now, Paul says, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. Right? When you sign up to the law, when you with Israel say, all that the Lord hath commanded us here from Mount Sinai, we will do. You're saying, I'm on the hook for the whole thing. Every jot, every tittle, there's no excuses. I can't wiggle this way or wiggle that and say, well, you know, that doesn't work for me. No, when you say I'm under the law, you're under the whole of the law. And if you venture down one little part of it, you're now responsible for the whole thing along with its curses. Along with its curses. Now, Paul gives us a little example here to help us understand what he's saying. All right, he uses an example that we're familiar with, verse 2 and 3. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. All right? We don't allow, even here in America, you can't be married to two different people at the same time. A woman can't be married to this man and that man. And a man, I know there's a few weird places, but a man is not married to this woman and that woman. It's one and one. That's it. That's what it is. And it says, but if the husband be dead, she's loosed from the law of her husband. She's not married anymore. Verse 3, so then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Now here's what he's getting at, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. What the gospel is declaring to us is Christ Jesus has severed us from that law that kept us in bondage to it. And we couldn't, when we were bringing forth fruit, it was fruit unto death. It was done in bondage, in fear, under tyranny, in worries, in doubts, being afraid. That's how we did it under the law of Moses. It's the law of sin and death. You better be perfect or else you're going to hell, right? That's what the law says. If you're not perfect in everything, you're not going to make it. Well, Christ severed us from that law by the death of himself. And we, the scriptures tell us in Romans 6:6, that we were crucified with him. We died with him so that that law has no more say over us. We are now free by Christ to be married to Christ. And in that covenant of grace, we bring forth fruit unto God. He's freed us to be married to him under that covenant of grace now. Under that covenant of grace. Now, turn over to Romans 8, verse 1 through 4. Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Right? You're married to Christ. You've done nothing wrong. You're not under the law anymore. There's no condemnation. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which is what we're now under, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law, that law of Moses, could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So that he broke those chains which had us fettered under that law of sin and death. We were bound. We were bound and could not set ourselves free by our works. He came and snapped those chains, broke them apart, and brought us to himself. He did that. He delivered us. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh in that bondage, but after the Spirit in the liberty of Christ. Now finally, go to chapter 10, verse 4. Romans 10, 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. In other words, Christ has accomplished in us what the law could not do. Christ has done that so that he's our righteousness and our acceptance with God. What the law was pointing to, righteousness, but couldn't get us there, Christ did it. He's the end of the law. And therefore, we have no more part. The law has nothing to say to us. Christ has accomplished that righteousness which God has purposed for his people, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And so now, believers, you that hear this word, whose heart is turned from the flesh and looking to Christ for all your salvation, that's how we come to God, in Christ. We come in him. We don't come holding the hand of Moses. That's adultery. We're not coming with Moses. We're coming holding on to, being held by Christ, our husband, our Savior, our God, our all. We come in him. And so salvation is of faith. It's either faith or it's of works. It's one or the other. And the Lord tells us it's of faith. It's of faith. Believers come to God through faith, looking to Christ, our Savior, all our salvation. Only a dead letter professor continues to come to God holding on to the law and the little bit of what he heard of Jesus and grace and trying to mix the two. Sarah said, cast her out. Cast out the bondwoman. She has no part in the inheritance with my freeborn son. She has no part. And so this allegory is revealing to us these two covenants. These two covenants. Now, let's talk about the two covenants. Right, this will be the heaviest part of the message here. All right, so in Galatians now 4, Galatians 4, verse 24 through 26. Let's read what Paul says here. This is speaking to those two verses we read there in Genesis 21, 9 and 10. Paul says, which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants. The one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. Right? It leads to bondage. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to, or stands with, or resembles Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. Right? They rejected Christ, and they said, nope, we're sticking with the law of Moses. This is our righteousness, and we're not changing. We're not being moved from this. And he's saying they're in bondage. But Jerusalem, which is above, that is heaven-born, is free. Is free, which is the mother of us all. That is you that believe. You that answereth to, stand with, resemble Christ and his people. You that come to God in Christ, you're freeborn. And so the Lord shows us in Scripture that he deals with men in two covenants. One of two covenants. And that's what the Scripture says. One is the covenant of works. And that requires man to work, to labor, to spend, to sacrifice, to keep on working and working and working and striving and striving and laboring and spending and spending and sacrificing nonstop. It's all on you. The other is a covenant of grace. And that one doesn't look to man, it looks to God. And God provides everything necessary in that covenant with all its blessings. God does everything for his people. And so Paul tells us that Hagar, that the Egyptian, the bondwoman, the Egyptian, she represents the covenant of the law with all its works and ceremonies done by the flesh under that law of sin and death. All right, under that law of sin and death. When Paul writes of it in 2 Corinthians 3, you'll see he calls the law of Moses a ministration of condemnation and a ministration of death. It's under the law of sin and death because when Adam sinned, sin entered the world, and he became defiled and corrupt, and death passed upon him and all his seed in him. And so we can't do it. We fall short trying to work a righteousness for ourselves. Therefore, we die. We die eternally, that second death, as well as this first death. So when Moses was given the law from Mount Sinai to Israel there, what it said was, do this and live. You do it, you get it right, you'll live. But if you don't do it, you die. That's as simple as it is. Just like we saw that man picking up sticks on the Sabbath day, he was killed because he broke the law. That's what the law says. That's how it's supposed to be meted out. And so the law requires perfection, but it gives you no aid, no succor, no care to doing what the law requires. It gives you no strength, no ability to do it. It just tells you this is what you're to do. And you're on your own to figure it out, to try and muster up a strength to keep it and to do it. And so what the law does, the purpose of the law is to make known to us we are sinners. We are lawbreakers. We are transgressors, trespassers, full of sin and iniquity. When we're weighed in the balance, you see the iniquity, the inequity. We don't measure up. We're found wanting. We're coming up short. And this is what the scriptures say in Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And so it shows us where we're wanting, and it's all over the place, if we're honest. It shows us just how far short we fall, but it gives us no remedy. It has no cure for the disease that's slain me. My flesh is weak, it's corrupted, it's defiled, it's ruined. I'm undone. I'm undone before holy God. It shows you what you're lacking, but it can't tell you where to get what you need. And it can't give it to you. And it gives you no strength. So this is what Hagar represents. She's the law, and that leaves us short of what we need. She's in bondage, and she keeps her children in bondage. She's still a handmaid, an Egyptian handmaid. And she was the wife of Abraham, the second wife. She's still a handmaid. She's still a bondmaid. She's still in servitude. She's in bondage under the law of sin and death, and her son Ishmael can't do anything about it. He can't change it. He's also the son of a servant, of a slave, and he can't set himself free or change that. And so what the Lord's bringing out to us, and I touched on it a moment ago, is in Adam, when Adam came forth, he was under that covenant of works. And Adam did not fulfill that covenant. He broke it. He broke it, and that's when sin entered and death through that sin, and he was defiled and all his seed in him. He died spiritually. He looked at God as his enemy and was fearful and afraid of God, and he ran the other way, and that's why all of us by nature come forth hating the true and living God. We'll worship an idol, no problem, but not the true and living God. He's in complete darkness to us. And so we died in trespasses and sins in Adam, which is spiritual death, and that leaves us in bondage under the law. Under that covenant that Adam was under, we come forth under that, and we can't do it. We can't break the chains. We're like Ishmael, unable to change the fact that we are in bondage. We are children of the bondmaid. And as Sarah said, you ain't having part with my son. My freeborn son, the son of promise, he has no part in his inheritance. Cast him out. Cast him out. So Christ, the last Adam, that's what scriptures tell us, he's the last Adam, he fulfilled the covenant between him and the Father. He established it in perfect righteousness. Therefore, it remains established. And all its blessings with it are remaining in place and with him and with his seed forever. And this is the covenant in whom believers come, by which we come to the Father. It's the covenant of grace made before the foundation of the world and established by the blood of Christ, by the faithfulness of Christ. Listen to 2 Timothy 1:9, 1:9 and 10, speaking of our Lord, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works. Not according to that old covenant, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That's important. Before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. We didn't know it, but now we do. When Christ appeared, and when he appeared not only then, but when he appears to each one of his people in the appointed hour, now we know it. Now these things are come to light for us to know it's not by the law. It's not by my works. It's by his grace. It's by Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's where he makes this known to his people, in the preaching of the gospel. So this covenant now, thanks be to God, cannot be nullified or changed by what we do or don't do. We don't change that or affect that. It's established in the blood of Christ, between him and the Father, and you, his seed, in him. We receive all the blessings, but it's established by Christ. Galatians 3, 16 and 17 says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not into seeds as of many, but as of one, into thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before, this is when it says before the world began, this is what I'm talking about. That covenant that was confirmed before of God and Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. So in the first sense, we can't change this. We can't undo what God has purposed to do. We can't make it or change it or prevent it. Christ willingly did what we cannot do. He did it for his beloved bride, his beloved people, whom the Father chose and gave to him before the foundation of the world. So that we are set free by the blood of Christ. And this is now made known to you in the preaching of the gospel. To declare to you Christ. To tell you, look to Christ, believe on him, and thou shalt be saved. And he causes his people to hear that word and to believe Christ and to trust him. Now listen to what our Lord did. Here's the details, the sacred details of what Christ did for his people. In Isaiah 53, verses 10 through 12, just stay with me. 10 through 12. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. And so, brethren, just as your eyes are looking to Christ now, that's where this covenant looks. Its eyes are entirely upon Christ and what he did, and as the sacrifice of his people to the Father to satisfy his holy justice, to deliver us from that damnation and condemnation for our sins, because they're put away. Christ paid the price. It's done. It's settled. There's no more debt that we owe. We are set free from that covenant. He severed that dominion of sin that was over us. It's broken. It's gone. It's put away so that we are set free from that prison and are sent into the arms of Christ by the grace and power and glory of God through his Holy Spirit, which drives us out of that death and drives us into the arms of our loving husband and Savior. That's where we are now. And so he established it, securing all the benefits, and this is the life that he's given to you now. It's all given to you freely in Christ. You that believe, that's the manifestation that it's for you. He's making it known. And Sarah represents this covenant of grace. And so Hagar, the bondmaid, she did bear the first son, right? She bore Ishmael before Isaac was born. But who was the first wife? Sarah. She was the first wife, and she bore the son of promise, which promise was made before, well, this way for you, before Hagar and Ishmael ever came into the picture. That promise was made. God told Abraham, I shall give you an inheritance, and in your seed all nations of the world shall call you blessed. Therefore, Sarah told Abraham, cast her out. She has no part here. She came after. She has no part. She's not even with Isaac. He's not going to partake of the inheritance as co-equal with my son. He's not a co-equal with my son. Cast him out. He has no part in this. All right? He doesn't supersede that. And so the picture here is that when the world was created, in time, that covenant of works, we read of that covenant of works in Exodus, don't we? Very early in the scriptures here, we read of that covenant of works. But the covenant of grace has prior claim on the people of God, because it was given before the foundation of the world, that God promised to save his people. He gave us to Christ, to put us in him, so that we are his people, his purchased possession. Therefore, when grace was revealed after, right, just like Isaac came after, that covenant of works has nothing to say. Hey, wait a minute, what about us? You can't do that. Nope, you got nothing to say. This goes back to that first covenant of promise. And this second covenant, this covenant of works, cannot nullify or undo what God has promised to do by his promise. And so, same thing, when Isaac came, all right, Isaac was born, or Ishmael was there, but he was the product of the flesh trying to affect that inheritance. But it can't undo what God promised. He's not going to change it. It can't change that. And that's good news for sinners who ruin and defile everything. So Hagar was nothing more than a handmaid of Sarah. Even so, the law was given to serve the covenant of grace. Right? The law was our schoolmaster until Christ, that we should be saved by faith. It's done now. It's got nothing. Let it go. Cast it out. Cast it out. It's a bondmaid. It served its purpose. Cast her and her son out. They have no part. They're not co-equals with Isaac, my son. Now, I gave you a lot. So everything I say from here on is just going to just be to support that. It's just going to support it. I'm not giving you nothing new here. So just listen. So these two covenants, they give rise to two totally different religions, don't they? They give rise to two very different, very contrary religions. One's of grace, and the other is of works and the flesh. One is in bondage, the other one is set free in liberty, the liberty of Christ. And they're contrary, so we don't come in both. We don't come in both. Romans 11:6 says, if it be by grace, then it's no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. If it be by works, then it's not of grace, otherwise works wouldn't be of works anymore. And so this is why Paul is so clear in Galatians 5:1-4, so as to cut off anyone that would try and come in both, right? To correct them, to say don't try and come in grace while holding on to the law. You can't do it. And so Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, brethren, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, right, if you start going down that path under the law to make yourselves a little more holy and a little more acceptable with God, he says, Christ shall profit you nothing. Don't do it. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. And so what he's saying is any church, any preachers telling you, well, now you got to go under the law, right? That's good that what Christ did and you believe on Christ, that's well and good. But now you got to go to the law for your sanctification, to improve on some things, to do things a little better than what you're doing. Come on, let's go to the law. He's saying that's Hagar. That's bondage. That's taking you away from Mount Zion. That's taking you away from Christ. Listen to what Galatians 4:25 says again. This Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. Where's Mount Sinai in Arabia? It's outside of the promised land. It's outside of the inheritance. It sits out there. It's not in here, in the land of promise and inheritance given to us in Christ. It's outside. And that's where bondage is. That's where the children of the bondwoman are out. They're not free. They're living under tyranny and fear and doubts and worries and afraid and have and keep looking to the flesh because they have no confidence in Christ. That's not salvation. That's bondage. That's fear. And so that's where they'll remain, in that outer darkness, except God give them repentance. But Sarah's children are free, and her children come to God in grace, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look again at Galatians 4:26-27. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren, that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. That verse there, that last verse, is Isaiah 54:1. That follows that sacred ground that detailed for us all that Christ did as the Lamb of God, and sacrifice to his, unto the Father for his people. That verse there saying, rejoice, you that were barren, you that had no children, that follows what Christ did. That's speaking of the life that he works in his people in bringing forth that fruit unto God. Not in bondage, not fruit unto death, but fruit unto God that rejoices. You're alive. You live for Christ's sake, what he has done. And so that's the rejoicing, brethren. That's the salvation that we have. Here's the last point. The two sons, and this won't be long, two sons. We look at Isaac and Ishmael. When Isaac was born and when he was weaned, right, the son, Ishmael, had to go. Free and slave could not both be heirs together. They didn't receive the same inheritance. And these two sons here are used by the Holy Spirit to picture that bondage with the legalists that they're under and trying to work for their salvation, and the freeborn son who comes to God in grace by faith in Christ. So let's read Galatians 4, 28 through 31. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. If you come to God in Christ, that's of grace. If you come looking to him, trusting him, all his righteousness, believing him, that's grace. And it's because you're children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh, Ishmael, persecuted him that was born after the spirit, or Isaac, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. And we see that. We see that in the two religions in which men come. We even see the flesh of Ishmael in this flesh. We see that and creeping in and trying to bind us as well. Cast it out. Cast it out. That's not your inheritance. Christ is your inheritance. We come as Isaacs, freeborn. And so the Son of the Spirit is free, born of the grace of God in Christ. Before the foundation of the world, this was given to us in him. We cannot come to God as free men and in bondage and receive that. We come free in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, because Christ is all our joy, our blessing, our rejoicing, our peace, our comfort, our hope. So then, brethren, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. It's of mercy and grace, brethren. And I know that's heavy, but it's a blessing. It blessed my heart, and as we hear it, it comforts and clarifies that which we struggle with in this flesh all the time. Always looking, thinking there's something more we need to do. No, trust Christ. You need more of Christ is what you need. More of his grace. Come and hear the word and rejoice in what he's done. And give thanks for what he's done for you. Amen. All right, let's pray and be closing the hymn. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for your grace. Lord, we thank you for Christ, our Savior, that you put us in this covenant before the foundation of the world, this covenant of grace and mercy. Lord, we thank you. We pray that you would bless us, Lord. Help us to hear it, to receive this word, and to believe the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. Lord, give us of your spirit. Lord, lead us by your spirit and your grace and your power, looking to Christ, walking by faith in him and him alone. Lord, we pray that you would bless this word to the hearts of your people. It's in Christ Jesus' name that we pray and give thanks. Amen.